Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today's daily editorials with an update from District Metals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol DMX. I'm chatting with the president and CEO, Garrett Ainsworth. Now, Garrett, big news that came out of the company on March 15th, earlier this week. It is the start of the first substantial drill program that the company will be conducting at this Tom Tebow property. 5,000 meters is planned, over 21 holes. The company really has been building up to this drill program now for almost a year, building up your targets, refining your targets, and now getting a drill on the ground. Just bring everybody up to speed, please, on the overall goals and strategy of the program that has just started.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Corey. And yeah, it's a really exciting time for the company, shareholders, and I give a lot of thanks to the patience, to yourself, Corey, and shareholders for, supporting us and following the story and being patient while we build, to this point. So, I mean, there hasn't been a substantial drill program done at the historic Tom Tebow mine since like 1972. That's almost half a century ago. So our initial 5,000 meters will really be focused on, twinning and infill and then stepping out from significant historic polymetallic mineralized zones. And the zones that we're going to be concentrating on, there's four of them, down at Gord's Groven and Gamla Groven zone down at the southwest. Those are more copper gold dominant type polymetallic mineralization. There are the other metals, but they're mostly copper gold. And as the mineralized trend goes on to the northeast, it transitions away from the feeder zone towards more distal mineralization at the Steffensburg zone and the Oscar's Groven zone. And those are more silver, zinc, lead dominant. But they also there are pockets of copper gold in there as well. But I mean, there are just some very wide and high grade mineralized intervals of polymetallic mineralization that we noted right off the hop that are wide open that we'll be following up on. So, we'll be testing this model. That's one of the key things that we'll do. And also, with some of the infill, the reason why we're doing it is because historically they would only assay for base metals. So, and we know there's a very strong precious metal content, especially with the silver. So getting that data is very important because the historical drill core, most of these holes is not available. So yeah, we'll basically be setting ourselves up with this drill program to drill like even deeper holes. And that'll be nicely supported by doing downhole electromagnetic surveys, which will show us off-hole conductors that really will help us justify drilling deeper holes.
Okay, so I will post figure one below this interview. That outlines these different zones that you mentioned, the different targets on these zones. And it does sound like this drill program really is just to get your feet under you here, really confirm the mineralization or expected mineralization that you think is on this project, really to warrant follow-up work. Is that fair to say?
I would say that is fair. And that's it's a necessary first step, when a project hasn't really been drilled for 50 years. So that's definitely it.
Now, when it comes to this target generation, I understand from following along with the story as a shareholder, you did a lot of work to further refine these targets. What insights can you give us on or regarding all the work that was done to build up these targets?
No, yeah, we worked off historical data and we combine that with modern exploration techniques. Like we flew an airborne EM survey and magnetic survey. We did a gravity survey. So, we're bringing in geophysics with some very important groundwork that was done by Rodney Allen, who's a consultant to District Metals and was, played a large role in taking Garpenberg from near closure to, being a tier one asset. And that was in the 1990s, early 2000s. So, I mean, he's seen a lot in the Bergslagen and his input has been extremely valuable, along with Hein Rath, who is also an expert geologist in the Bergs district. And we actually brought him on formally as our country manager to District Metals at the beginning of this year. So it's absolutely crucial to have the right people with experience that can tell you all about the rocks and the mineralization these rocks are absolutely just blasted. Like they've had a lot of fluids go through them. They've, you know, remobilization. And in order to know what's going on, you really need to bring in experts to help. So the work they did really tightened up our priority drill targets. And, you know, they put together some excellent summary of their work that I've kind of put into a technical presentation, which is now available on the District Metals website under our presentation section. So it is quite technical, but I mean, it has a lot of great photos of what, you know, mineralization looks like, alteration and the geology as well.
Okay, I will post a link to that presentation as well, because I've read over it. It is technical, but it can give you a good understanding of all the work that has gone into building these targets. As a broad comment, these targets sound fairly large. These are big, I guess, zones that you are testing. So when it comes to reiterating or evaluating these results, how is that overall narrative going to play into the drill program, understanding that these are big targets?
Yeah, and that's, you know, one of the things that really drew me to the Bergslagen is, you know, Boliden's Garpenberg mine for a VMS type deposit. It is, you know, one of the largest on the planet. And then also you've got Zinkgruvan, which is run by Lundin within the same district. It's more of a, like a SEDEX or a stratiform type deposit. And again, just very, very large. So that's really what we want to get to at the Tom Tebow property, and specifically with the historic Tom Tebow mine. So what we see is, you know, a fairly high grade copper gold feeder zone that was daylighting and was, you know, mined down to the 90 meter level. And then, you know, subsequent work, they went underground, did an exploration drift at the 200 meter level, and drilled off significant mineralization. I know you've heard the backstory on this, but the reason why it didn't continue advancing was because the Swedish government changed the mandate of the state-owned company that was operating this project, and it got shelved for a number of decades and forgotten about. So our goal is coming in and picking up where they left off and basically try to really show that, you know, the mineralizing system that occurred here is substantial and work towards doing mineral resource estimate and hopefully, you know, keep going down that track of advancing it.
So what is the overall budget for this program, this 5,000 meters?
Overall budget is it's about 1.8 million. It's about $300 Canadian per meter, all in. That covers the drilling costs, the assays, geologists, everything. And then there's, you know, the additional amount is attributed to doing downhole EM surveys. And we're also looking at, you know, other technologies that we could use, potentially a downhole survey, because those can be very effective at picking out bodies of high density that aren't conductive, like zinc mineralization as a zinc sulfide is quite often not conductive and will not be picked up by a downhole electromagnetic survey. So the more tools that we can use to help us, you know, track these bodies, these mineralized bodies is absolutely crucial to being successful.
So one thing I do need to ask you is regarding turnaround times in the lab. You obviously don't know what they are going to be, but everybody has been, or most companies have been, hit by delays at the lab. Are you guys expecting a bit of a delay in turning these results around once these holes are drilled?
I think it's fairly reasonable in Scandinavia, you know, for the time being. But yeah, I've definitely heard elsewhere around the world it can be pretty ridiculous, like in months of waiting. My understanding is that, you know, four to 6 weeks is pretty standard right now. We will be using ALS, so we basically ship our core samples up to Mallow. They'll prep it there, and then they ship it over to Ireland, and that's where their analytical lab is located.
Okay, and so it sounds like you might have better turnaround times, and especially those companies in the Golden Triangle. overall, Garrett, can you give us an update on what cash the company has in the bank to move forward with this program?
For sure. Yeah. So we're at 5.1 million in the bank. So we're well capitalized, obviously, for this program and for any kind of increase to the program that could potentially happen, given board approval, of course. But we're set up quite nicely to be able to pivot if we decide to do so.
Okay. Now, in full disclosure, I am a shareholder of District Metals. We will be following up as more news hits the market, especially when we start getting some of those drill results. But first things first, get those holes drilled and keep us up to date on how everything is progressing, please, Garrett. We will chat again as more news hits the market. So thanks for the update here, Garrett.
Thanks, Corey.